Welcome to season two of the Pursuit of Living Well podcast. This season, we are going to be talking about being intentional with your life and things regarding your health, your energy, your connections with people, your thoughts, your words, and your heart. Most importantly, I will be bringing on experts to take us on a journey of learning of how to be in each of those categories and situations. Some topics we will cover in 2 to 3 episodes with 2 or 3 different guests. So hold on tight, because if you thought season one was amazing, just you wait. Well, good morning, everybody. I want to welcome you back to the Pursuit of Living Well podcast. And today I have a special friend on here. We actually just met, 2-3 months ago, not that long ago. And we don't even know a whole lot about each other's story, except that there was an immediate connection, which, if you know me, I got to go with my gut. If there's a connection somewhere, it's like I have to reach out and they have to be in my life somehow. So Gina Seavey, thank you so much for joining us. And how the heck are you? You're all the way out in where? California?
Yeah. Sunny California. Actually, it is sunny.
It is sunny today. Today it's cloudy. Yeah,
it's actually been so great. Like, the weather has been awesome. I live in Temecula, so I live in wine country.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Nice.
What's your favorite wine?
I mean, I am a Chardonnay person.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. Although I haven't been drinking wine for probably, it's probably been a couple of months.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just because of health reasons, I just kind of am cutting out like anything that's excess sugars and stuff. And unfortunately, wine has a lot of sugar.
So. Wine's got a lot of sugar in it. Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I tried to do the dry January and it didn't, I mean, I did great for 3 weeks and then I had to have a glass of something in. And then boom, my immune system took a turn and I tanked. So I blame it on the wine. So that keeps me, keeps me straight.
That's awesome.
All jokes aside. So we met in a group of women that connect kind of on a weekly basis. I'm not always able to do it, but it's a membership group where we are putting God first with our families. And I was asked to be a mentor. You were asked to be a mentor there.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how you've evolved, because back in 2019, you came to a point in your life where, okay, something's changing, something's shifting. And I think a lot of women experience that at some point in their life, but they're not willing to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they, in my opinion, it's because they haven't cultivated the practice of learning to listen, or whose voice to listen to. Can you take us back to that point and just give us a little bit about your history?
Well, I will tell you that I've been married for almost 36 years, and I never found a job that I was like, I love this job. Like, it was okay, or I didn't like it, or whatever. And I found myself like always staying with something, even though I wasn't comfortable in it. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. I just knew, like, I know I'm meant for something, but I didn't know what it was. And my marriage was really kind of struggling a little bit, you know, because just of stuff that I was going through. And we've been through a lot. Like, we had a lot happen in our past that has brought me to the place in 2019. And I just knew I was stuck. I was stuck in some type of a mindset. I didn't know it was a mindset, but I was stuck. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to regenerate my life. I just knew, like, this cannot be it. You know, if God says there's an abundant life, I just don't feel it. And I know that I need to see what he sees. So I was driving to work I, at the time, I worked for a therapy office, actually, and I would drive to work for about an hour and drive home for an hour. And on my way to work, I would listen to podcasts because, you know, podcasts are like, you know, the best. And, and I heard a coach on a podcast, and she was a life coach, and just something stuck out to me. And at the time, it was right when COVID really started, you know, coming into play. And I just didn't know, like, financially, like, how am I going to do this? Get a coach, you know? And I thought that was like so decadent as well.
Right.
Like,
right.
Who am I to say I should get a life coach? But I remember just instantly messaging her. And it was like one of those things where people tell you, just message so-and-so and, you know, they'll get back to you. And I did. And it was almost like out of body. I was like, you know, and she contacted me and I had a discovery call with her. And I was just like, bottom line, how much does it cost?
Right.
You know, and it was a lot. And I just was like, okay, that's a lot. And I remember her saying to me, but what are you going to do going further if you don't invest in yourself? And I remember that being really powerful to me because I was like, man, yeah, she's right. I've never really invested in myself. So I came home and I told my husband I'm getting a life coach. And he was like, I'm sorry, what? And I'm like, it's okay. I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to do it. I've never invested in myself, so I'm going to do it. So within, you know, like a few weeks, I got the money together and I invested in myself. And within a couple weeks of coaching with her, she was like, why aren't you a life coach? And I was like, huh? And I kind of chuckled because people had always said, you should be a life coach. You should be a life coach. And I was like, what does that mean? You know, like, I just like helping you, you know? And so I just kind of started to like, let that marinate a little bit. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I really love to do is I really love, like, if God's telling me something or I sense that God's telling me something, I start looking up in scripture, like, where can I get like confirmation that you are speaking to me? And I really felt like everything that I was looking up is like, you know, you're chosen is something that, and set apart, mm-hmm. chosen and set apart. And so I knew that I had been longing for something, but I didn't know what it was. And honestly, I had no idea what I was stepping into, but I knew that I was already coaching people.
Right.
But just not on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to work the next day and I work with a therapist. And I just said to one of the therapists, I'm like, I'm going to be a life coach. And she's like, cool. I'm going to be your first client. And I was like, what? You're a therapist. And she's like, you've been coaching me for the last year, Gina. I want to pay you to do this. So that was just like the confirmation, you know, like, okay, Lord. And she's still my client. She just keeps renewing. So that just, you know, is a blessing. And then I got my next client, which was just like organic marketing. And she reached out but I also knew, like, I was like going back and forth of like, you know, I'm a life coach, but I love the Lord. So how do I meld the two? Because I can't, like, I embody Jesus. Like, it can't be like separate from what I'm doing. And so one of the clients that I had was not a Christian, but she was real cool with me just bringing Jesus into our sessions. She'd let me pray with her at the end. And it just was so amazing to let God enter into what I'm doing, because I do believe that, you know, my wisdom is so diminished if God isn't the one that's giving me the wisdom. Right.
Right.
So that's kind of how it started. I just was like, I want to regenerate my life. And I got a life coach, and then I was encouraged to start life coaching. And so here I am. Mm-hmm. And then I met Emily through, so Emily, who your listeners don't know, she has that, a group called the Carolina Collective. And, but before that, I met Emily through that life coach. So Emily was in a group coaching with us, and I saw something in her that I just knew, like, ooh, I really want to be like, just like you said, you know, like, ooh, I really want to get close to her. And I've seen like how God in the last 2 years has just blossomed every single person that was in that group. Mm-hmm. So kind of cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I was having a conversation last week with a friend, and we were talking about, you know, our age, the 40 and 50 somethings, right? Mm-hmm. How the bad rap that we get sometimes, especially as women, is, oh, she has to go, quote unquote, find herself. And I'm like, there is no finding of self. We really know who we are. The problem, and tell me if you agree or disagree, or I want your thoughts on, or feedback on this, is that we get to a point where we have an aha moment, like, where the heck have I been, and why have I not listened to what God's been telling me? And I've been searching and going on this crazy zigzag path, and all of a sudden it hits us, you know, upside the head. Hello, give me your attention. You haven't been listening. This is who you are. Remember. Mm.
So good. So it's funny that you said that, those words, because I remember working in an environment years ago. I was probably 18, 19 years old. Mm-hmm. And there was a woman who was my boss, who was probably in her 40s. Mm-hmm. And I remember she used those words, I'm trying to find myself. Yeah. And I remember being like, that's weird. Like, you're right there, you know? And not, it was like maybe a couple of weeks ago, I was driving down the road, and I remembered back to that moment. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, like I had all that judgment, you know, when I was this young woman, but now I'm her, you know, like I so like resonate with what you said. It's not necessarily that I'm or was finding myself. It was like I was becoming clear about who I am.
Yeah.
It was clarity. And then God opened up that because I was willing to be open. I was willing to be open enough to accept criticism. I was open enough to be seen. Mm-hmm. And to be vulnerable. And I think a lot of times, like for a long time, I was always, you know, like everyone would be like, oh, your faith in the Lord is so great. And I'd be like, and it was almost like a badge, you know, like I'd been through so much, and I'm like, yeah, my faith is great. But, you know, but inside I'm crumbling.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't want anyone to know, because if I let them know, then maybe their faith will fail. Mm-hmm. And it was like, whoa, like you're not God, you know, mm-hmm. like vulnerability is actually strength. Mm-hmm. And so when I decided to get real and start to like really like listen, like you say, listen to what God was saying to me, and also to realize that my thoughts were not the facts. My thoughts were not the facts. There might be a fact, a circumstance, but my thoughts were like taking me on a repetitive journey of just negative, of just self-focused, mm-hmm. that I couldn't get out of, mm-hmm. until somebody was able to pour into me, until somebody was, and unfortunately, I mean, I hate to say this, but the church really wasn't available.
Yeah.
And as much as I love the Lord, I felt like the church kind of set me on a path of like, I've got to be perfect. The Proverbs 31 woman, mm-hmm. type of mentality. And, you know, since learning about that Proverbs 31 woman, it's not an all-encompassing thing. Right. I'm literally not sewing and cooking and, you know, but I think that so often we kind of, as believing women, we think like we have to attain this thing. And if we let anybody know that we're not doing it, we're not superwoman, then we failed somehow. Mm-hmm. And I was done pretending that I was crumbling.
Mm-hmm.
And that, honestly, I get choked up because I really believe that that was like the moment that God said, okay, okay, sweetie. Because, but then he kept saying, okay, we'll let you go. Mm-hmm. It's like when you have a little toddler who was like, I can do it. I can do it. And I kept saying that to the Lord, I'm going to tie these shoes, Jesus. I'm going to tie them. And then he was like, all right, sweetie, I'm going to let you do that. And then I was like, I can't.
Yeah.
He was like, all right, sweetie, now we're going to, mm-hmm. now we're going to do what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so many times, cause I can't, so my father was a pastor, a preacher. Mm. And so, you know, I grew up in the church from the time I was a knee high to a grasshopper, went to a Christian school. All my whole life was around and involved in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the training and the upbringing. I'm not, you know, negating any of that. However, what I have found is that God is so much bigger than what we were taught. Mm-hmm. And I believe with all of my heart, the problem with so many women today is we were, that Proverb 31 woman is put on this pedestal. And what it's done is it's put us in compare mode. Mm-hmm. And so we grow up constantly, like the world does it to us enough. We didn't need it from the church either, but it even more so added to this place of always consistently comparing ourselves to that, but comparing ourselves to other women in the church about all the things that we should or should not be doing. And then there came the shame, there came the guilt, there came the less than, I'm not enough. I could go on, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing in your, like the women that come to you for coaching, what do you see the biggest issue around shame comes from?
Well, I do believe that there's a lot of unresolved trauma in women. And I think that, again, we mask it with things mm-hmm. like statements like, it's okay, I don't need it, I don't deserve it. You know, I have a client that I work with that was one of her biggest statements, was like, I don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And she would come every couple of weeks, she would come back and she would say, you know, we get through the end and then she'd come back. She's like, I messed up again. I'm like, oh, you were human. Okay. Yeah. Well, what are we going to do about that? You know, like,
yeah.
I think we expect that we can't be human and we don't mess up. I mean, we don't want to be hostile towards God where we're continuing to be disobedient,
mm-hmm.
but we also have to realize that we are human and we are going to mess up. And that is why Jesus came. If I have to be perfect, and this was something that I was almost put myself on this pedestal of like, I'm going to be perfect. I'm going to be the good girl. I'm going to do all the right things. And even if I don't do all the right things, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, but I'm going to come right back and I'm going to attain the good girl. And that comes from a place of pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of the women I've dealt with is that they don't see what's possible for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we see and know, like we go, that's fact. We see it and we know it. It's fact. And a lot of times it is.
Right.
Right. What we see and know, it's really happening. But what God sees and knows, now that's a completely different thing. What he sees and knows, we can actually step into that reality. And I remember thinking like, I'm going to just step over the line. I'm going to step into his reality because I know there's more. I know that if he said, I came to give you an abundant life, and that's just not financially, but I mean, that is like all encompassing abundant life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I see women wanting to do. They want to step into that. But like you say, the shame that they come from comes from an unresolved, maybe childhood trauma or unresolved trauma that they've had, that they don't even know that they're aware of it. You know, and I didn't realize that I came from a traumatic childhood. But to be honest with you, I mean, if I told you stories about my childhood, you'd be like, what? But then that was my normal. In fact, when I met my husband, I remember we were at a Thanksgiving dinner, and I remember sitting there going, when's the fight going to break out? Because that was how it was every holiday in my home. And so that was my normal. And when I met my husband, I was like, oh, wow, people are like actually enjoying themselves. And, you know, so, you know, thank goodness for my husband, because he brought a completely different viewpoint of how life should be lived. You know,
how important do you think other people's perspective is on things?
Well, I think it's important to validate someone's perspective, because we all have our own lens, right? We all have our own lens on how we view life or circumstances or whatever. But can I tell you this story?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I went to the gynecologist. I had been waiting for months to get into this gynecologist that everyone said she's, you know, the best. And so I was so excited because I've been having some problems, and I'm like, so excited. I go in there and, you know, I'm telling her my stuff, and it was a constant dismiss everything that I said. To the point, actually, at one point I was like, oh, you know, you have to use a smaller, this. And she was like, no, I don't. And then she was like, oh, I do. And I was like, you're not listening to me. You're not listening to me. And I remember thinking, at the thing I love about coaching, and I'm sure you do too, is that you get to listen. You get to see them where they're at, because where they're at right now is their reality. So for me to tell you, well, that's not true, because God says this, is only going to cause that person to be like, wait, I don't, but it is true. My reality is true. Right. So their perspective on the way the world is happening for them is truth for them. But we get to help them see it differently.
That was because so good.
We saw it differently, right? We get to, because we're like, we're just, you know, I always tell somebody, when someone's like, you know, oh, you know, like, I'm just not like, honey, I'm just like a few steps ahead of you. I just saw something and I'm going for it. And I'm bringing you with me. I'm not going to drag you, but I'm going to bring you with me.
Right,
so
right.
You can see it too, you know?
Yeah. So good. I think, sorry, I was looking at the screen there and it said my internet connection is unstable. Like, wait, internet or me? right. So I, you know, with the whole perspective thing and opinions, I think a lot of times when we start with our clients and they're new to the coaching scene, they are thinking that they're coming for advice, or they're coming for your opinion. They're wanting to be validated. They're wanting to be told what to do. Mm-hmm. And that's like the opposite of what we do. And I have a gal that used to be my client, and I was speaking with her the other day, and it seems to me that she still gets into this pleasing mode. You would have been so proud, you know, and I have to bring it back. I'm like, but that's great, but that's not, how did you feel proud about yourself? How did that make you feel? You know, and it's true. I think of even myself, of, you know, you get to this point, you're doing really, really good. And then you want to go tell somebody, you know, and it's like, wait a second. I don't need to say anything. I did this. This is good. I did this, you know, just, and the more that we want to share, because we want other people to be, it's just natural. We all have a sign. I think that says, make me feel special. Right.
Yeah.
And when we find someone that when we haven't had, let me back up, when we haven't, especially for words of affirmation people, when we haven't had that in our lives, and then we have someone that steps in and congratulates or sees the little steps that we're taking, it's like we crave more of it, you know? And I think of little kids, how you've got one parent that they fall and they, oh, and that child just, you know, starts crying, but you have another parent that's like, you fell down. Yay. And we used to do that with my girls all the time. It's hilarious. They would stand up and they would, you know, half cry, half laugh, and then they'd start laughing. And then when my sisters had babies, they started, my daughters are like 10 to 15 years older than their cousins. And when their cousins would fall and do stuff, they would exemplify what we did with them. And I think it's just, we're going to respond much better as a whole to affirmation and to knowing that someone is hearing us than, like you say, you know, the dismissiveness, the well, teachable moments, right?
Yeah, you can be highly educated. You know, that doctor was highly educated. She knows her stuff, right? But there's a difference between knowing what you're doing and listening to what your client needs, because I needed someone to listen to me. And that, I just was, no, of course, I'm never going back, but but I was very disappointed, because I was like, wow, you know, like, was I just a number? Was I just a monetary person that came in? You know, like, I wanted to be seen. And I think that everybody should have that moment where they're seen. And, you know, I even think about homeless people, you know, like, so many of us just walk past them. But if just to say hi, you're not, you can say hi to somebody and let them know, hey, I see you.
What if there was a way to access the subconscious and shut off that racing mind? What if that sleep that you were getting at night actually allowed you to recover and wake up more alive and alert the next day? The Soundbar is a meditation room that uses frequency-minded music to help you relax and reset. It uses different frequencies to target nerve receptors in the body and may help with anxiety, stress, depression, lack of sleep, chronic pain, and more. The Soundbar is located right here in Moorhead City at 4426 Arundel Street, Suite A, in Pelletier Harbor Shops.
Us to realize that every human needs to be seen.
Yeah.
You know, we get to be that. We get to be that because Jesus told us to.
Yes. People need to be seen. People need to be heard. There is a, you know, it's a trending phrase right now about creating a safe space for others. Can you elaborate on what that really means?
Well, I think that is why I chose to find a coach. I was willing to invest in somebody because I knew that that person was going to be all in. Kind of like my gynecologist was not all in.
Yeah.
She was in it for herself.
Yeah.
And I knew that me investing in somebody who is going to see me and hear me and guide me Mm-hmm. I knew that was so important that I think if I could just shout it on the rooftops, like how powerful it is to have somebody see you mm-hmm. and have someone listen to you, but not only see you and listen, because we can have good encouragers. Job did, right? Yeah. Well, they weren't really great encouragers, but they were his buddies, right? And they were just kind of like, they thought what they were encouraging Job was right. And God was like, I'm sorry, who made the universe? Who made the stars? Like, who are you guys to be saying anything? Mm-hmm. So it was like stepping into that, you know, part of it and getting wise counsel from somebody who really looks to see, this isn't about me, this is about you.
Right.
I want to help you see that you have possibilities. I see it. So if I see it, I do believe that God's given me a gift where I can see somebody's possibilities. I can see them. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, when they say all these negative things, I'm like, that's not what I see. Mm-hmm. I see this. And how can we get you to see that? Because it doesn't matter if I see it, you have to actually be thinking the thoughts. And so that's why I love helping women to like shift your thoughts so that your thoughts actually can get you to the results that you want. Because our thoughts, I was doing a study, you know, we think 6,200 thoughts a day, 92% of those are repetitive, 80% are negative. So if we have 80% of our 92% repetitive, what world?
Yeah.
We're in trouble.
Yeah. And so many of them are random.
Yeah.
They're random. I mean, like they come like what?
Uh-huh.
They come from wherever. You wrote something the other day and I, for the life of me, cannot remember what it was, but it was on intentionality. And I loved it so much because that's it, being intentional is my word for the year. Mm-hmm. And I believe that nothing happens in our life unless we are intentional about whatever it is that we are to do. And we as women are intentional about how we raise our kids and about how we clean the house and about how we go to these, you know, different Bible studies or groups or whatever with everything else. But we tend to not necessarily be intentional with our own personal growth. We may go work out, we'll get our hair done, our nails, our, you know, pedicures, massage. Some will, some won't, but you know, that's like the outward taking care of, but we forget mm-hmm. what it means to take care of this right here. And sometimes we need that. Mm-hmm. That coach is that person a lot mm-hmm. of times mm-hmm. where we can go and we can completely shed everything about us. And we know that we're not going to be judged. And I think that more than being just listened is not being judged.
Mm. Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. I think that was it was like the safe place for me to be me mm-hmm. instead of being strong Gina. I was able to be weak Gina so that I can be stronger. Mm-hmm. And if that hadn't happened, I don't know where I would be today. I know that I will always love the Lord. But I wanted to love the Lord as that little girl. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to love the Lord as like the strong woman, you know, getting it through. You know, I wanted to come to him mm-hmm. Innocently and be like, I need help. And that's what's so, I think, sad for me, for women, is that we forgot that it's okay for us to not know everything. It's okay for us to need help. It is okay. I mean, you know, what's the term? You know, it takes a village. I think at some point, I don't know where it got cut off, where we're like, nope, I'm gonna do it on my own. I'm gonna be fine. It's all gonna be good. But I'm crumbling, you know, you know, you hear that term hot mess mom, you know, and it's almost like a badge, you know, and it's mm-hmm. like, well, you don't have to be a hot mess mom. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be. it's actually attainable for you to actually enjoy and love your life. Yeah. And if you're not loving your life right now, there needs to be, or let's say that's a symptom. If you're not loving your life right now, that's a symptom.
Yeah. Yeah. Should be your wake up call.
It should be your wake up call. It should be, mm-hmm. You know, think about three things you can do today that are like fun. Mm-hmm. Remember when my coach asked me like, so what do you do for fun? And I was like,
Yeah.
What does that mean? What does fun mean? Just like really, you know, like, does it make you feel good? That should be fun. Getting your nails done. Okay. So if you can't afford to get your nails done, what about if you take a walk? What could you do that's fun just for you? Pick three things. Mm-hmm. And that will be, it'll give you so much more like ownership and power instead of being the one, you're not a victim. Mm-hmm. You get to, not it's happening to you, get to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. My friend Joy Harrington uses that phrase a lot. I get to do this.
Joy was my coach.
Oh, was she?
That is awesome.
That's hilarious. Yeah. She and I are great. She and
I love friends. Joy. Yes. Yeah,
she and I are great friends.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
She was my coach, and how I found her was literally by happenstance.
Oh, wow. So
was it?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
Was that a divine intervention?
That is so wild. Cause we met at a mastermind.
Oh, that's so funny.
Mm-hmm. She and I actually, we met at an event, and that was my breaking point. I was the hot mess mom business owner that was just like falling apart. Everybody remembers the woman who cried the whole time that she was there and was like speaking all this stuff and was just like a mess, and completely different now, like completely different. And she and I ended up being part of a mastermind together. Now she's one of my closest friends.
That is so awesome. Well, she was my coach and I was in her mastermind. Mm-hmm. So just to see that, that's so cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Yeah. That's neat. What would you say, if people wanted to reach out to you right now, who do you serve?
I serve women who are unable to see what's possible. Mm-hmm. I work with women who are, you know, grinding and the hustle and all of that. And yet they're not finding joy. So I help those women. I help them see what's possible for them so that they can have joy in their lives now. Mm-hmm. I think right now is the most important time because we only have today.
Right.
So if we can't learn to enjoy today and still make money, you know, I think a lot of people think like, I'm just going to sit on the beach and I'm going to be joyful all the time. You know, like, no, we still, there is always work, but the hustle gets us into this place of like, just a place where we're feeling like we have to do it all instead of giving it to the Lord and letting God actually direct our steps. And we can still have gratitude for what we have right now, mm-hmm. even if it's not optimal, mm-hmm. even if like we're saying like, yeah, but you don't know my circumstance, Gina. And I would say to them, I hear that. But it's possible for you to enjoy your life even in the midst of your circumstance. Mm-hmm. I'm a testimony to that. My husband has cancer. Mm-hmm. He lost his job in COVID. I could go on and on about what the circumstance,
right?
The fact, right? I see and know, but I lean on what he sees and what he knows.
Yeah.
So that's what I teach women.
Yeah, that's awesome. If you were to give one tip, something that someone can take home today and implement, what would it be?
I would say the tip would be get curious about your thoughts. Curious about your thoughts. Just sit down. Anytime you're thinking something that just isn't hitting you right. You know, like you just don't, it's making you feel, because thing is that your thoughts create feelings and your feelings create an action or an inaction. So let's say you're overweight, 20 pounds overweight. You have a thought about that, right? And that thought gives you a feeling. And then you either have an action or an inaction. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people will be mostly in inaction.
Right.
Because they'll be have that thought like, oh, I can't lose weight. I've tried that before. It never works. You know, and then the feeling is not being empowered. But what I love to teach is that if you get curious about your thought, if you're really curious about it and you start thinking like, okay, I'm going to write down all the things that I'm thinking in just one day, in just one day, then you can look at that and go, huh, all right, well, how do I shift that thought? How do I make that thought actually work for me? Mm-hmm. Because that thought isn't working for you if it's making you feel something in your body that is not what God wants you to feel. It's not empowering. I want to empower women. Mm-hmm. You want to empower women.
Mm-hmm. I tell women all the time that, because I've had some people say, well, how do I know that's not what God wants me to feel? How do I know what God wants me to feel? And I just very simply say, is your body feeling constricted or is it feeling at ease? If it's feeling at ease, then that's of God. If it is feeling constricted, then it's not. If you're having to constantly question something, check that. You know, why are you questioning it?
Amen. Amen to that. If you have a stirring, investigate it. If you have a tightening, like you just don't feel right about something, question that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, where's wise counsel come from? Comes right from the Lord.
Yeah.
So whoever you're leaning on, I don't know who your listeners are listening to, but if you're leaning on someone who has, who's giving you their opinion, mm-hmm. I would be careful. I would be careful. Because my opinion really doesn't matter.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Rapid fire questions. Let's wrap it up because this has been so good. And I know that there's going to be women that are going to want to reach out to you. So where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram. So Instagram, Gina.CB. Okay. Gina.CB. Super simple.
That's awesome. And we'll have this in the show notes. If there was one place where you would want to live other than the United States, where would it be?
Maldives.
Ooh, nice. Nice.
In a hut with the, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my whole family has to live there too. So
nice. Nice. The worst food that you've ever eaten?
Liver.
I think I would agree. Ew. Real books or Audible?
Oh, that's a tough one. My eyesight is getting really bad. So Audible has been really awesome, but I love holding a book. I love like writing and underlining. And yeah, so I love that. So it's 50-50 on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Last question. What are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Well, I'm looking forward to, I'm going to a field trip with my grandson.
Oh, so nice.
That, yeah.
How old's your grandson?
He's 5. He's aww, like the sweetest. I love him.
I just have grand fur babies, so I don't have, oh. I don't have any two-legged grandbabies yet.
Oh, they're man, when you get it, you're going to be so, it changes your life completely.
Oh, I know. I can't wait. All of my nieces and nephews were like grandkids to me because there's so much, you know, so much difference between my kids and them. But right. But yeah, I look forward to that one day. I thank you for sharing. I thank you for being
so much
vulnerable and being honest with people and calling a spade and, you know, just sharing. I think you have so much wisdom and I'm honored that you would be on today. So I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. So much fun.
Yay.
Yay.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day today to listen to this latest episode. I would be forever honored if you would give us a 5-star review. And if you have any questions or comments, please leave those in the comment section. And we look forward to seeing you next time.